The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour at 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 6th show. I am your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Thank you for taking time to talk money. I bring into studio each week the best of the best experts in our local market on everything regarding your money. I'm here to help you in today's economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but I am here to answer any questions or connect you with any guests that I have in studio today. Please call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And my lineup in studio today, Jim Black with Absolute Return Solutions. I have an exciting resource in studio that helps many of our listeners manage, grow, and maintain their money. More money definitely makes it a little bit easier for our lives. Also in studio, I have Gil Sandoval with Caliber Real Estate. If you're purchasing, my next guest will be a great resource for you. And last in studio, I have Rylan Taniguchi with Keller Williams Realty Bothell. How often and why does real estate move, and is a good time to purchase and invest in real estate? Great information and great guest in studio. For more information on any topic discussed, please call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150. Or online at themoneyhour.com. And let's go ahead and start out the show with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
I wanted to talk about student loans today and how student loans can affect applying for a mortgage. Those of you that are regular listeners to the show know that my expertise and what I do on a daily basis is mortgages. For new listeners, that's what I do. I just hang out with you on the weekends here for the Money Hour. But in student loan balances recently broke the $1 trillion mark and now exceed the balances of credit cards in America. And many students don't think about the ripple effect of student loans and how it may have an effect on the ability for them to actually qualify and finance for a mortgage. The impact can be devastating. So I wanted to kind of go over some of these key things to look out for, important facts about student loans and the effect that they can have when you're applying for an actual mortgage loan to secure a mortgage for your dream house. Number one, deferred loans. 1 year deferment for FHA is what they state, to where you're not utilizing that payment in qualifying for your mortgage. And on conventional financing, here's the thing though, you want to make sure that your mortgage, because the information provided at application is also only as good as the mortgage consultant and how they're looking at that and making sure that they're getting that reviewed and looked at by an underwriter. Because here's a common mistake that happens with student loans and deferment when you're going through the pre-approval process is the credit report states that it's in deferment, but the requirement for FHA, conventional financing, and even VA is they have to be in deferment for a minimum 1 year, 12 months from the time that you actually close on your mortgage. So here's the first thing is when you're closing on your mortgage, that actually is typically going to be 30 days, maybe a little bit more, even from the time that your contract's accepted. So when your first mortgage payment is going to be typically a minimum 30 days and sometimes 60 days from the time that you actually close on your mortgage. So you have at least 1 month before you make your first mortgage payment, sometimes 2 months, depending on when the closing date is. So it has to be in 1 year deferment from the time that you make your first mortgage payment. So most student loan companies will not re-defer student loans. They'll defer it at 12 months at a time and will not re-defer again until that 12 months is over, which makes it impossible in most situations to have that 1 year. So this is what you have to do is you've got to find out where those student loans payments are going to be when you're out of deferment to calculate that in your qualifying, because it can be devastating on the qualification process and securing your mortgage if this is not cleared up and taken care of and understood at the pre-approval process. Duplicate student loans. This is really common. Many times when you're going through the process of securing your student loans, you're going to have multiple times that student loan is actually being sold. And so you have duplications on the actual credit report. You want to make sure that you're getting these things cleared and resolved on the credit report to ensure that that's going to be a smooth process when you're going through the actual closing of the process. If the loan ever goes into default, all of those are actually going to be reporting on your actual credit report that there's been a default on these duplicate student loans, which can have a huge effect on your credit score. Now, if your mortgage consultant doesn't know that in a rapid rescore process, or even that they have the ability to do a rapid rescore, they're not able to adjust that credit score for you. And it's really important because your credit score has a huge effect on what your actual interest rate of your loan is going to be, and actually in some cases whether you're going to get the loan or not. Now, term options for your student loans. With most student loans, you may have multiple payment options available. Maybe it's a repayment for 10 years, 20 years, or even 30-year terms. In many cases, when your credit report is pulled, the payment is listed for the higher amount rather than the actual. So maybe it's listed for a 10-year secured, that payment amortized over a 10-year versus a 30-year. The student loan company will report on the credit report the lowest term reflecting the highest payment in most situations, which is going to have a huge effect on your approval. So you want to make sure you're getting that updated or having your mortgage consultant do that through, again, the rapid rescore process to get that completed. Now, if your student loan payment really is over a 10-year period, go in and have that changed to a 30-year period if you're having any issues in qualifying for a mortgage. Because if you look at a $50,000 student loan at a 5% interest rate over a 10-year period, that's going to be a $530 a month payment. If you amortize that over 30 years, you're taking that payment from $530 down to $268. So it's saving $262 a month in your payment, which results dollar for dollar into an additional $260 a month that you can approve for in an actual mortgage payment. And that's going to increase your buying potential maybe $20,000 to $30,000. So it's going to have a huge effect. Make sure that you ask the amount that's being calculated for the approval process to secure that and to ensure that it's going to be the right amount. Student loans and collection. On many occasions, I've seen federally backed student loans from the U.S. Department of Education or Sallie Mae remove all late payments on student loans on the credit report if brought to current. Now, there's no law or there's no guarantee that this is going to happen, but I've seen it happen many times, and I guarantee you're not going to see it on any other debt that you have. You're not going to negotiate with the credit card company or your car payment if you've had any delinquent payments. But in student loans, for whatever reason, that a lot of times you're able to do that through the student loan companies if you get those collections paid off. So you want to make sure that you're doing that and asking if they can adjust the actual late on your credit report, because that's going to have a big impact on your actual score. And if on the collections, negotiate not only the delinquent activities on there, but actually the amount that you owe. And sometimes that can work as well. So just some tips on your student loans. Those of you that have student loan payments, if you're thinking of moving forward and trying to secure a mortgage for a new home purchase, it's important to understand how that process works. And that's the Money Chat coming up next on the Money Hour. Are you smart and safe with your financial investments? Jim Black with Absolute Return Solutions right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
My grades were bad. I would get D's and C's. I appeared to be doing good at my school life, but if you would see me at home, it would have been a completely different story.
I mean, it was just rough focusing on school when your mother is somebody you have to take care of.
It got worse and worse and worse throughout the years.
There are students who need somebody.
They can trust someone, and it could be the first person they've ever trusted in their life.
Communities and Schools is lowering America's dropout rate by helping more than 1.3 million kids every year get whatever they need to succeed in school.
If something was going on at home, we would go just stop by Miss Liberty's office and talk to her.
Communities and Schools vouched for me when everyone else had lost hope.
You can help change the picture of education right here in your community and across the nation. Visit communitiesandschools.org.
I hear people say we can't save every kid, but I think that we can.
Hi, I'm Max Unger, center with the Seattle Seahawks. Did you know that during summer vacation, many Washington State kids often go hungry? We have to tackle this problem now. So join me and the Dairy Farmers of Washington to spread the word about Summer Meals for Kids program. Schools, communities, and organizations will be providing free, nutritious meals to children 18 and younger. There's no registration and no IDs required. Again, all the meals are absolutely free. To find the site nearest you, visit parenthelp123.org and let's tackle youth hunger together. Thank you.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 6th show. Each week, I share expert advice and inside knowledge on how today's events and our local economy can affect your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com to ask any questions or to be connected with any of the guests that I have in studio today. And in studio right now, Jim Black with Absolute Return Solutions. Get your answers to retirement planning right here during the segment that I have with Jim. Always excited to have him in here. And definitely your financial planning is a big part of our financial picture and our money. And that's why it's always a pleasure to have Jim here. Jim, thanks for coming back into studio.
Thanks for having me. It's a great day.
And a little bit about Jim. He has been providing advice to clients for over 25 years. In that time, he has worked for some of the largest financial institutions in the world and advised clients in nearly all phases of their financial spectrum. A few years ago, Jim wrote the best-selling book, Happy Ever After: Retirement Doesn't Have to Be Just a Fairy Tale. He has been featured on many TV shows and radio programs. One of the radio programs being right here on the Money Hour. And recently, he has made a guest appearance on New Day Northwest on King 5. Again, Jim, thank you so much for being here. Just excited to talk a little bit about retirement and how to maximize retirement. And even, you know, for me, I'm not nearing my retirement age quite yet. But every time I talk to you about retirement and we have conversations around this, it really gets everybody thinking. And if you're listening today, it really is an important thing for us to think about, to plan for it. And the sooner we plan, the better the results are. Correct, Jim?
Absolutely. It's certainly one of those things where you never want to wait until the day you get that last paycheck before you start thinking about where the next one's coming from.
That makes total sense. So, Jim, I've seen you on TV lately talking about the biggest fear people have. What is that?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Everywhere I go, it seems to be that people are kind of saying the same thing. I saw a study recently, and you may have seen this, where it was talking about people's greatest fears. It used to be public speaking. In fact, public speaking was a greater fear than dying, which always cracks me up a bit. The new number one fear is running out of money before you die.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's a baby boomer and beyond has looked and thought about this one. Well, how do they make sure that they have the income they need and want for the rest of their lives once it's all on them?
Yeah, that makes total sense, Jim. So we've talked before about your best-selling book, Happy Ever After: Retirement Doesn't Have to Be Just a Fairy Tale. And what is the book about, and how can our listeners get a copy of that?
Absolutely. Well, certainly anybody who calls into the show can get a copy of the book today. call into the show, and the publisher actually provides me copies for free, which is kind of a nice thing since they keep most of the royalties.
Nice.
But anyone who calls into the show today, we'd be happy to send a copy of the book out to you. But basically, the concept of the book is this. Over the course of the last 25, 26 years that I've been doing this, I've noticed a whole lot of mistakes that people are making that are costing them their retirement. Because of the things that they're doing, they end up being back on the job. It used to be the joke that they'd be the Walmart greeter. Well, now Walmart doesn't have greeters anymore. So the whole idea of the book was, how do you avoid those mistakes that will cause you to have to go back to work before you die?
Yeah.
What are the mistakes that are making it so people run out of money once they get that last paycheck?
Yeah, and how many times have you gone into the grocery store and seen somebody that should be retiring, enjoying your life, and they're bagging your groceries? I mean, it's, you know, it is a sad thing to think after all those years of working, not to be in a position to retire, and it definitely takes planning. And if you want to take advantage of that book, again, call the show 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50. And you can actually go to themoneyhour.com and search for Jim's name and bring up all of the previous shows that we've had with him in studio, because he's just a dynamic guest and just a real pleasure to have here. And it's such an important topic to do. So, Jim, you are a retirement planner concentrating on distributing planning. Can you explain that to my listeners?
Absolutely. So most planners that anybody has ever dealt with their entire life are all what we term accumulation planners.
Okay.
They're the people who help you gather the assets. You're saving it for retirement, for health, for travel, for someday. We're the other end of that. Once someone gets that last paycheck they're ever going to get for the rest of their lives, we're a distribution planner. We make sure that we create and implement plans for clients so that their income lasts as long as they do. So they protect that nest egg and have the income throughout the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and just like anything else, Jim, you really have to talk to professionals that understand the strategies that need to be done in all areas regarding your financing. And that's the biggest reason I do this show, is so I can connect my listeners with each individual that in their field that can help them in that whole financial picture. So, Jim, how does Social Security fit into the distribution plan, and what are people's options?
Social Security is a major area that people are really kind of just starting to discover. The difference between taking Social Security the way the bulk of the people take it and the way you maximize your benefit over the course of your lifetime can be $200,000, $300,000, even as much as $400,000 more money in your pocket by the way you apply for it.
Wow. And you have two cardinal rules. Talk about those.
So there's really two things. The two biggest mistakes that I see people make when they're dealing with their retirement, the number one has to do with cash flow. And that is that people should never pay taxes on interest and dividends that they don't spend.
Okay.
Everything in retirement is about cash flow. If you have one penny more than you need, you're happy. You have one penny less and you have a miserable existence.
Yeah.
And so if you're paying taxes unnecessarily, that's one place that you're costing yourself cash flow.
Okay.
So the first thing people need to know if they're doing this is, are they making that mistake? And the way to find out is to look at your tax return.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a number on line 8 or 9 of your tax return, which is dividends and income, and you're not spending that money, you're actually paying taxes on money you probably don't need to. That money should be reallocated to another spot.
Okay.
The second one, and the biggest, most critical mistake that I see people make, is never, never, never draw income from a fluctuating account.
Okay.
Most people have been told that this concept of the 4% rule. If you take 4% of your assets, you should be okay for the rest of your life. Well, we don't have to look very far into the past to see that that didn't work.
Yeah.
If you had retired January 1st, 2000 with $1 million and took just 4%, you wouldn't have made it all the way through 2008 and you'd have been completely broke.
Yeah. Wow. So another hot topic, Jim, is long-term care insurance. And how expensive is it? And what are some options?
Well, long-term care is one of those things where nobody wants to pay for it, but everybody seems to need it.
Yes.
It's probably the single biggest financial risk of anybody out there. But you know what's great? Being a baby boomer, the world is changing. And we're changing the world as we go. It used to be the only way you could get long-term care insurance was to buy it like you buy insurance on your car.
Okay.
But things have changed a lot. There's a lot of new players in there, and there's things that you can do where, in some cases, you can get tax deductions for money that you pay for premiums for long-term care. You can get benefits back that if you don't spend it or if you don't need it for long-term care, it goes to your family.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something people need to look at, and it's really it's something that we look at very seriously because it's a concern out there.
Yeah, and just having all of those areas covered, all the asset classes and all the protection that you need is key to having a full package.
Absolutely.
So what are some important traits that a retiree should look for when searching for a financial advisor?
The first thing I would look for if I was looking for somebody to give me advice on my money was who are they looking out for? There's a concept out there. It's called a fiduciary standard. Most people are not familiar with it. But I think you would expect that anybody who gives you advice on your money would be a fiduciary.
You would hope so.
But in fact, most are not.
Yeah.
Not your insurance agent or the guy at the bank or the stockbroker.
Wow.
And so the first thing I would do is find somebody who's a fiduciary, somebody who has that responsibility and liability to do what's in your particular best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to search for is somebody who actually has had experience and done it. The CFP, or the Certified Financial Planner, is a great place to start. It's a certification that about two-thirds of the people who take it on an annual basis fail it. So it's really a big separator between those who really have a good sense of what's going on and those who maybe just hung out a shingle.
Yeah. And so it's just important to know the questions to ask, and then you can get the answers that you need to make sure you're getting the right representation and the best advice.
Absolutely.
So, Jim, what is wrong with variable annuities?
Oh, yikes. So,
do we need a whole other show just for this?
Yeah. Probably could. So anybody in the listening audience who has had a variable annuity, it's kind of funny. When people walk into my office, they'll slam their fist down and go, Jim, I hate annuities.
Yeah.
And I can look at them and go, really? Which variable annuity did you have?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of misconceptions out there. People think that they do something that they don't, mm-hmm. and they don't realize that the fees on those variable annuities are significant. I've mm-hmm. seen them as high as 4%, 5%, 6%, and it's devastating if you're trying to get growth on your money.
And I think it's important to understand what, you know, there's not necessarily a bad product, but there's bad advice or a lack of advice of what a product is. So really understanding what your options are and then making the best financial decision for yourself is key. So, Jim, what are some of the worst mistakes that you have seen people make getting ready to retire?
Wow. The biggest mistake I think I've seen people make is walking out the door without having a plan. I saw a study from AARP a couple of years ago, and they said only one person in 20 will retire with the income that they need and want for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I expect all 20 had a plan, at least in their mind, but something happened, whether it was taxes or inflation or Social Security or health that changed
it. Bad advice.
Or they didn't bother to get advice until it was too late. They didn't know until they couldn't do something else.
Yeah. So important, Jim. I just I want to remind the listeners, you've made a really generous offer to offer any of the listeners today to the show to pick up the phone, give the show a call at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150. And Jim will provide a free book. And again, I encourage you to go on to themoneyhour.com, listen to any of the segments that I've had with Jim. I think it's one of the most important pieces of our financial picture is your financial advisor and getting that right advice. So, Jim, thank you again so much for spending time with me in studio today.
Very well said. Thank you, Tina.
Coming up next in the Money Hour, here to discuss real estate with me is Gil Sandoval with Caliber Real Estate, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
We are Treehouse.
Does it fit okay?
Just perfect, sweetheart.
A place where children who've suffered abuse and neglect can find the support they need to fulfill their potential, graduate from high school, and achieve their dreams. In fact, of all the things we do for them, our favorite is buying them a graduation gown.
Well, how do I look?
Like you're ready to contribute something great to the world.
Come visit us at treehouseforkids.org for information. Treehouse, giving foster kids a childhood and a future.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
America's wounded warriors are coming home. After serving on foreign shores, these brave men and women are returning to their families and communities. Many have wounds you can see, and many have wounds you can't see, like post-traumatic stress disorder. Now that these warriors are back home, they are ready to enter the civilian workforce. To help, Wounded Warrior Project has developed the Warriors to Work program, a career counseling service that helps warriors translate their military experience to the civilian workplace. These extraordinary men and women bring proven world-class job skills and a unique perspective on teamwork to the job. And to ensure the right warrior finds the right job, Wounded Warrior Project works with employers to find just the right match. When you hire a wounded warrior, you hire an intelligent, talented, and committed new employee. Contact Wounded Warrior Project at findwwp.org. Welcome home the brave.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 6th show. I am dedicated to my listeners, providing you with the tools needed to make informed decisions on all matters when it comes to your money. If you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, to talk with me or any of the guests that I have in studio, you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, I have Gil Sandoval with Caliber Real Estate, and we're going to talk a little bit about real estate. Gil, thank you for coming back into studio. It's great to see you again.
My pleasure again.
And a little bit about Gil and his background. Gil has been in the real estate business for 23 years and has been a landlord for over 30. He has created a unique for sale by owner program. He has the benefit of working with his wife, who has 22 years experience and is in the staging profession. Gil has received many production awards during his career, employs of latest technology to best serve his clients, and with success shares his knowledge, mentoring, and coaching new agents to assist with their venture into their real estate career. And I know, Gil, that's got to be a task taking on. I mean, just starting from the beginning, I know for myself doing mortgages, I always think back, how in the heck did I actually make it my first 12 months in the industry? And same with real estate. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's constantly changing. And in this market, in such a competitive market, you just really have to have that expertise to really take care of your clients.
That's right. I mean, you made me think about my first year. I think I worked 60 to 80 hours a week my first year.
Yeah.
And luckily, I only had one child at home, and she was just finishing her last year in high school, so I didn't have to be at home a lot.
You're not working 60, 80 hours anymore?
No, I've cut it down. You know, it's like they told me at the beginning, you only have to work half a day, and you can choose which 12 hours you want to work.
There you go. Makes total sense. So, Gil, when you were here a few months ago, and you were with Skyline Properties, I see now that you've changed and want to share it with my listeners to Caliber Real Estate. Why the change?
You know, I've been doing the real estate with investors for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I came into it maybe just a little bit naive. And I found out that there's two basic types of people that work in the trustee auction business. And there are the real estate agent kind of folks, people that worked in real estate.
Okay.
And there are the folks that just work in real estate auctions and selling stuff. And there's a whole different level of integrity. The real estate folks, I think we're all geared with that realtor mindset where we have a code of ethics that we adhere to.
Yep.
All full disclosure, everything needs to be in writing. And I saw so many of the other guys that things were never explained, they weren't understood, mm-hmm. and sometimes omitted. And it's taken me almost 4 years to sort of weed out and find out who the really good guys are to work with. And there's a guy, Ian Morrell, he's the CEO at Caliber, and he was working with another company, and I ran into him in my first year and had a couple of really pleasant experiences with him. And kind of from a distance, I watched him, how he worked, the guys that he worked around, and they never double talked. They were just always there. They were accessible. Mm-hmm. You could ask them even what felt like silly questions, and they didn't talk down to you. And I just thought, these guys are really cool. And then they started their own company over a year ago, and they brought in the same mix of folks. And you know, every Thursday night, there's a bunch of auction groups that kind of do what we do. Mm-hmm. And I've been to most of them, and these guys do far and away the best presentation on Thursday nights. They got a nice room, really a great website, and then they got so much information. I started going there, and even when I don't have investors to take, I go there myself because it's so great. And they provide so much information on the houses that are out there. And I mean, every one of them, they go out and drive them. They've got information on them, lots of photos on them. And they give you everything you need to know as far as repairs, what it'll sell for, the most that you should pay for it, and approximately what time frame that you'll have. They show every week, they show one of their success stories, a house that they took from garbage and what their crews do. Oh, my word, they do beautiful
that
work.
That is great.
And for the investor, almost all of their stuff sells over asking price.
So, Gil, what exactly do you do to provide accurate data for your investors? And you talk about selling over, you know, asking price and to really provide that, because a lot of it is in the information that you provide to your clients. And so how do you do that?
The biggest thing is who you align yourself with. And I wanted to go with Caliber because they overwhelm me with data. You can ask any question. They do what we call a title scrub, and they're looking for anything that might come out of left field that could impact the investor's profit margin. And we're looking for mechanic liens, and we know about those things, IRS tax liens. We know how to deal with those things. Utility liens, second mortgages, third mortgages. What lien are we going to be bidding on? And so when you, as an investor, have all of that stuff, you get a real complete picture of the property, so that if you do end up getting that property, there are no surprises along the way.
And that's one of the biggest things when you're purchasing at auction, is you really don't know what you're getting unless you've got the data and the preparation ahead of time. And it's just a whole different risk factor when you're getting into that arena. So getting with a company that gets that data and has it, I mean, there's still a different level of risk that you would see at buying at auction, but there's a lot of things you can do to minimize that. And so I think that's awesome. So how has your business been this year? What are you seeing happening in your arena?
Well, surprisingly, it's been better than I even expected. We've had a more of a difficult time getting things at the trustee auctions because of the competition from the hedge fund. But my traditional real estate business just keeps coming out of left field. And it seems like I average about a referral a day, and some are real good and some are not so good. But you know, all this. This number of years in the business, I've obviously done business with a lot of folks, and I stay in touch with them. I keep in touch with them, and I don't let them forget who I am or what I do for a living. And you got to remember me. And I think that it's if you just do that stuff often enough, you find enough really nice folks out there that you've done business with in the past. And guess what? They also know other nice folks, and it makes for a really nice cycle.
Well, it sure is an indicator if you take care of your clients, because if you don't take care of them, you don't experience that in your business. So, I mean, that is the truth. There's a lot of people that just are not watching out for the clients the first time, and so it's hard to build a successful business around that mentality. So making it difficult for your investors to purchase at a trustee auctions, how has that changed much?
Really, the only thing that's changed is the amount of competition we get from the hedge fund. And, you know, they're big players, and generally they've got a different goal. And so they can bid higher on the properties. When we take an investor there, we have an absolute limit, and we stay with that. Once it goes a dollar beyond that, we just walk away, because it's just doesn't make sense to go into an investment that's not going to give you the yield that you need to get. And that's we're the, kind of that watchdog for our folks.
Makes sense. So you work mostly in the South Side and King County. How has the activity been, and how are the sales prices?
Sales prices are softer compared to the East Side and downtown, but they're still good in terms of the appreciation. We're back to where we were a few years ago. activity has been real good. I would say, you know, for the investor or even just the home buyer that doesn't have as much money to spend and can't afford to buy, to be in Kirkland or Woodinville or something, there's nothing wrong with Renton, Kent, Maple Valley. I live in Maple Valley. It's a great place to be, and you can get so much more house there. The problem is that you maybe have to commute, but if you can, like, telecommute and do other things, great schools, great sports factories out there. It's just a wonderful place to be.
So are you noticing much difference in the way that buyers are responding with underwriting? And what are you seeing there?
I am seeing probably the same things that you're seeing, that there's increased underwriting or wanting to double check things a little bit more. We sometimes have to have more documentation from our buyers. And sometimes it's real frustrating for them. And I really understand that. I wish we could just make it real simple for them. But there's a lot of safeguards built into the systems nowadays, as you are aware. And we just have to live with the system and try as best we can to explain to them the hows, the whys, and maybe just be a little sympathetic with them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I do and coach with my team is, you know, you set expectations up front that we're going to get you a loan, we're going to get it done, and it's going to be on time, but it's not going to be a lot of fun because there's a lot of documentation. But here's the reason why. When the banks made the decision on what they wanted to ask for, we had a meltdown. And so now to protect our economy, to make sure that doesn't happen to all of us again, now you got to provide documents and you've got to provide a lot of it. So I think with just like you said, you can sympathize with them and explain the why behind it. People can totally appreciate that because I hope we never get back to the scenario that we were in before the meltdown and set ourselves up for that again. So and our industry has gone through in the past couple of years changes and things. So what are you seeing?
You know, I'm really pretty optimistic about it. I'm seeing folks having good jobs. I'm seeing younger folks coming out of school and getting good jobs. And I'm seeing some younger folks that are coming out of college, young couples that are good savers. I'm seeing some really good habits in young folks out there, probably more so than I saw when I first came into the industry. That gives me great comfort, I'm excited about that. My own kids, I've got, you know, kids and grandkids that are home buying age now, and they all seem to have a good information. Their parents are giving them good information. They're seeing stuff, and they're reading the right things, and they're disciplined enough to go out and get their money in place, get their credit together, and have realistic expectations.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Gil. And I just want to thank you again for coming back in studio.
I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you here and definitely a unique in the arena that you're in. So if you're thinking at purchasing, going down to the auction house and purchasing a home, totally different than what we normally talk about in studio here. But there are great opportunities for the right buyer investment. You know, most of your investors is really the perfect one of the perfect scenarios in getting a good deal. You've just got to make sure you do it right. So pick up the phone, give the show a call, 1-855-400-1150. Again, it's 1-855-400-1150 if you want to talk to an expert in that arena. And coming up next on the Money Hour, when and why do you invest in real estate? Rylan Taniguchi with Keller Williams Realty Bothell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
I've been living with hearing loss for more than 50 years.
Me and my sister have been wearing hearing aids for most of our lives.
But it's not a solution for everyone with hearing loss.
I suffered hearing loss while serving my country as an Army specialist in Iraq. The damage I suffered in combat is making it even harder to fit back in as a civilian.
When I was growing up, understanding my teachers was really difficult.
I started to lose my hearing in college. Social situations became awkward. It was hard for me to tell my friends about my hearing loss.
50 million people in the country have hearing loss.
That includes 1 in 5 teenagers.
60% of the veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan have suffered hearing loss.
With your help, we can restore hearing.
Help make hearing loss a thing of the past.
We are just some of the many faces of hearing loss. Hearing Health Foundation is working to restore hearing.
To learn more about their research for a cure, visit hearinghealthfoundation.org, a public service from Hearing Health Foundation.
Have you experienced a traumatic event such as a car accident, rape, or combat? Do you have anxiety, upsetting memories, or sleep problems? Confidential help is available. The University of Washington Center for Anxiety and Traumatic Stress is seeking participants for a study on psychological reactions following trauma. Eligible participants receive no-cost evaluation and counseling, or counseling plus medication, 9 months of follow-up, and up to $300 in compensation. Participants must be 18 or older. For more information, please contact 206-685-3617.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, September 6th show. I've built a network of elite industry professionals every week, sharing their knowledge and expertise with all of my listeners. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can always call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150, or online at themoneyhour.com to discuss anything regarding money with myself or talk to any of the experts that I have in studio here each week. And right now in studio, I have Rylan Taniguchi with Keller Williams Realty Bothell talking about real estate cycles and when to invest in the real estate market. And I have to say, Rylan, you're a little different spin on real estate conversation from what I typically have in here. And you've got a lot of experience in cycles and what the real estate market is doing, just from a different angle than I think I've ever heard before. So it's always a pleasure to have you here. And I thank you so much for taking time to sit across the table with me.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Can you believe it's already September?
I know. What's happening?
Kids
are back to school. Halloween's coming up. Christmas is coming up. I know. It's just crazy how things move so quickly. And a little bit about Rylan. Rylan has been investing in real estate since 2000 and has certified in construction management from the UW. He has flipped over 45 homes and has owned 15 rental properties. And with this, he has experience needed to share a wealth of advice. And I always say, when you're looking for somebody to work with in a category, whether it's mortgage and real estate, financial planning, you want to see what they're actually doing personally themselves in the area that they're supposedly an expert at, because that says a lot on that they've gone through the process and experienced themselves. And so it's exciting to see all the investing that you've personally done in the real estate market. So Rylan, is now a good time to invest in real estate?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think last time we were on the show, we're talking about a really interesting topic that kind of I uncovered in the last 2 years of researching for a book. And, I started real estate in 2000. I did most of my investing in the past, actually, not recently. It was more in the last cycle of the real estate. And, some of the things that we uncovered in the book was just this amazing historical analysis where you went back to 1800. I found some out of published books in 1818 and 1836, 1854. And you would actually think that you were in today's market if you go back in history, to those times. It's absolutely fascinating. We talked a little bit about the theory of the 18-year cycle, which I've never heard of in all the years I was in real estate.
I've never heard it before either, before I had you in studio.
And it's kind of a hard one to spot, because in our recent history, there was no 18-year cycle in the 40s as a result of World War II. There was a double dip in the 70s in 73 and 79 in the real estate cycle. So In modern history, it doesn't look like there's a steady pattern of an 18-year cycle. But there's an economist from Berkeley in 1997 that, you know, the last crash before this crash in 2008 was in 1990. And so what he predicted was that based on his theory of the 18-year cycle, that the next crash would happen in 2008. He did this prediction in 1997,
wow.
Which, you know, nobody took him seriously. But now that you look back, you're like, wait a second, how did this guy possibly figure that out 11 years before the event? So I started researching some of the analysis that he had in it, and it's absolutely amazing. He predicts right now that rents will be going up in the cycle, which you see pretty prevalent. And then what he predicts next in the cycle is that that credit will be easily available again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see the pattern. So based on the last cycle being
in
2000...
Hopefully it's not easy as it was before, as I said, because I just, you know, think that could be devastating for the market. But
well, you know, but it's interesting. You go back in history, right? You look at the old railroad days, and they would go through these patterns where it was easy to get credit, and then they would go to their crash, and then they would go through a period where, you know, the regulations was in, and, you know, it's very common.
Yeah.
That's why it's taken 18 years, because it's probably 18 years before you forget what happened last time.
And then you're ready to start all over again.
Ready
with the
to start
greed.
Make the same mistakes again.
Oh, my gosh. So, Rylan, what about how do you advise your clients on the best ways to find the best deals in real estate?
Yeah. So, you know, Gil was talking about a very interesting thing with the auctions.
Uh-huh.
Early in my buying career, I purchased homes at the auction. And like he was saying, you know, you have a interesting mix of characters down at the auction. I've seen some of these same guys that he's talking about accidentally buy a second mortgage, whereas client, you know, they thought they're buying a home for $150, but now they're in the house for $330.
Yep.
So there are some, they say, buyer beware when you go at the auction. There's definitely a lot of risk.
Yeah.
I know I've been with properties that were at the auction that, you know, there was a underground oil tank, and I knew that because I had done some, you know, I was familiar with the property before it went on through the auction steps. And, you know, you go down to the auction and people are bidding on this property and they have no idea the risks involved with it.
Yes.
So it's definitely a risky event with the auctions. There are some great investors that, you know, can do that type of stuff. But
sure.
For the beginner, it might be a little bit of a risk to buy properties at the auction.
Well, we all know that, you know, usually the higher risk can have a higher return. So it's just an insane in Jim's arena. I mean, it's just deciding in how much risk you want to take, where your comfort level is, and, you know, making a strategic decision.
Right. Well, that's true. But, you know, what's interesting is you're going to see that those same properties are available before auctions in what's called a short sale.
Okay.
Then they're available at the auction, and the properties that don't sell become available later as a bank-owned property.
Mm-hmm. Or the REOs.
My own experience is I purchased personally two homes from the auction in the past. One of them was a complete disaster.
Uh-huh.
It was a home that had, you know, studs that were like, you know, for some reason, somebody decided to glue studs together. I have no idea why you'd do that.
Uh-huh.
But you open, you know, you don't know until you open the drywall. You get in there and there's studs. And this was auction bought property. You know, you can't do a full, good, thorough inspection on the property.
Yeah.
So what we're recommending to our clients and two of the agents that are on, you know, we have 13 agents at the Ryko Group, Keller Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Two of our agents are specialists in what's called bank-owned properties.
Okay.
And so they are some of the top listing agents for that particular category. And so normally we'll talk to the investor clients that we have and recommend they go that route.
Okay.
With bank-owned properties. They're properties that went through the auction process, didn't go through, and the clients could do a full inspection and things like that on
that. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's important to understand with auction. I mean, it hits the auction once, and if it doesn't sell, then it goes back to the bank as an REO. So what's happening in that arena right now?
Yeah, and so I'm actually interesting in the sense that I'm actually on two sides of the fence in the REO industry.
Okay.
On one side of the fence is I have two listing brokers that specialize in these REO bank-owned properties.
Uh-huh.
On the other side of the fence, I actually own an asset management company. Right now, we're putting a bid on, it's called a D1 region for HUD.
Okay.
And if we get this bid from the government, basically we'd get 250 properties in four different states a month. So a total of 1,000 properties a month, which is a lot of properties.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it's interesting because being on the REO listing side of the business and being on the asset management side of the business, you see two different paradigms as to how this business works. And so from the asset management side of the business, what I've learned is that you have to comply with the goals that HUD has.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the goals is, for example, that they would prefer to have owner-occupied non-investors purchase these bank-owned properties. And so we've seen this as a REO listing agent where we'll have our investor that will make a higher offer than one of the there'll be a cash offer. They're an investor, right? They'll make a higher cash offer than some of the offers that are being financed.
Okay.
And we go through the big contract and find that the offer that was lower based on financing contingencies actually mm-hmm. got accepted, and the cash offer mm-hmm. that was higher, because they were an investor, didn't get accepted. Some interesting things like that.
Huh. And why do you think that is?
Well, it doesn't make any sense from the listing side. But as an asset manager, mm-hmm. what I've learned about that is because you're trying to keep in line with the goals that HUD has, and they're looking for owner-occupied. People that want to live in the house mm-hmm. long-term. So this is an example of some interesting trends you see.
Huh.
One of the other things I've seen is that on the HUD side, what they have is tiers,
mm-hmm.
right? So there are so many properties in a portfolio that you manage that you can allow to go at a lower price. Usually it's the dilapidated homes that have a lot of cost to get them back to market ready.
Okay.
So there's a pool of properties that you can accept offers on the lower side of mm-hmm, the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Then there's a middle spectrum that you can accept properties that are middle price in the middle range. And then there's a portfolio where they want to see properties that are in this market a little bit over market price.
Okay.
So there's a range of values that you can get on these bank-owned properties, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense. But being kind of on the asset management side and seeing kind of how that works, it's been interesting to see the dynamics and how the prices that'll be accepted on those properties that the banks have for sale.
Yeah, it makes total sense. So, Rylan, what about a bubble? How do you know when we're getting ready to hit another bubble?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think if all of us knew that last time, right, and there are some very smart people that do, I believe some of these hedge funds that Gil was talking about, they're very smart in figuring out how to plan for bubbles, when they're forming, when they sell, things like that. Going back to this 18-year cycle plan, so if you start the cycle in 2008, that would, you put it 18 years ahead, actually go back to 2007,
okay.
Go back up 18 years from that. You have a forecast 2025. Now there are events that could happen that could throw that 18-year cycle off,
just like it has before.
Yeah, a war, mm-hmm. a currency uh-huh. collapse can cause real estate to crash at any time. If that were to happen, it's very unlikely, but uh-huh. These are all possibilities. So it's not like a sure thing that's
sure.
going to happen in this 18-year cycle. But let's assume it did happen in 2025. You'll see signs of a bubble forming. There's a thing called cap rate compression
mm-hmm.
when it gets really hard to when you have investment properties to get cash flow on those properties.
That's an indicator.
You'll see
okay.
massive amount of construction activity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's definitely a lot of activity indicators out there for that bubble when that's going to occur.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at the stats and you look at trends and different things that the market for the most part there are trends and you can see everything and see that it's coming unless you like you said. If there's something that is unexpected that happens, that can change those trends. But it's really interesting to actually just watch it and see what's happened in the past and learn from it and see what might be coming in our future. What's interesting now is to hear a lot of the infra commercials going on in the investment. I mean, you can tell the market's is recovering when there's just a lot more demand to get out there and build your real estate portfolio.
Yeah, the hedge funds, they've been buying properties. The last 3 years have been really the best time to buy.
Uh-huh.
It's a good time to buy now, but the best time to buy has been the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So they've purchased a ton of properties, a lot of them at 90% of the market value of them. And, I work with one in particular, and I know that their plans is that they're planning to sell it when they see that bubble uh-huh. happening in about 7 years.
And even so, if you bought a real estate, if you bought an investment property at the height of the market, as long as you didn't sell, really, the market's recovering now. But even before the market recovered, look what happened to rents. I mean, it was still a great opportunity for people that had investment properties because the rents were going up so high and they're continuing to go up. I mean, there's multiple offers on rental agreements right now, and there's things in the contract that are requiring them that after a year, the rents are going to automatically go up. It's crazy. So even if you had bought an investment property when the market, right before the market tanked, you were getting a lot for that monthly rent.
Yeah, rental market's crazy. Especially
it's so crazy.
If you go to Seattle, Ballard mm-hmm. area, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
There's like 40 people for one townhouse at $1,800 a month for like a three-bedroom town.
Yeah.
Crazy right now.
My stepdaughter and her boyfriend are currently looking for a rental, and yeah, it's really crazy. Well, Ryland, thank you so much for coming back in studio. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and I think it was a great show today. Lots of great information. Again, to talk with any of my guests, pick up the phone, give the show a call, 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50, or go online to themoneyhour.com. If you missed any of the segments that we had and any of the guests in studio, you can always listen to my podcast. Ryland, again, thank you so much.
Great. It's great to be here again. Thank you.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I hope that you're having an awesome weekend, enjoying our beautiful Seattle that we have here before the weather changes a little bit. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll talk to you again next week, next Saturday, right here on 1150 AM at KKNW.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.